Amen. Praise the Lord. It's time to look to the Word of God. Welcome to the house of the Lord today. Title today is War Broke Out in Heaven. War Broke Out in Heaven. Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 8, verses that are familiar. New King James Bible, Revelation 12, 7 to 8, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels. Michael is the archangel, the great angel of the hosts of the Lord. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels, the demonic powers, fought, but they did not prevail. How many can say amen to that? Amen. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. War broke out in heaven. Michael and the angels fought with the dragon and his angels. But the dragon and his angels did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. We know there's a battle for the planet, for the souls of men and women, and there's warfare in the heavenly places. Pastor James said in his book, "You believe there's one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble." We believe in the Lord and we're established on a solid rock. We're built up in the Lord. Strength is put into us. The devils believe in God, but they tremble because they know that their damnation and judgment is already pronounced on them and that they have no victory and no future in this world or in the kingdom of God or in the purposes of the ages. But there's war in heaven. War broke out in heaven. And I want to speak from the book of Daniel today. If you'd turn there. Daniel chapter 9, first of all, Daniel chapter 9, and we'll see this man of God set forth as such a powerful example to us, the man Daniel, for all of us to receive understanding of our lives and our work before the Lord, to see the battle in the heavenly realms. Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem, that there would be a 70-year captivity, a Babylonian captivity on Jerusalem. And verse 3 says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." Daniel understood the word of the Lord, how God had said there would be 70 years of captivity and then there would be a change, restoration would come, and we see Daniel involved. Now let's go to Jeremiah chapter 29, the famous verses on God seeking to do good to our lives. Jeremiah 29, verses 10 to 14, Jeremiah 29. "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished in Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place, Jerusalem. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Or literally, to give you a planned end and a hope. "Then shall ye call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you will seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, says the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." The word of the Lord was that God would perform his good word after 70 years. God would restore his people. And it's a wonderful promise that we take into our lives of the restoration of God and how God wants each of us to live with hope and expectation of what he's going to do in our lives. But verse 12 is very significant. "Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray, and I will hearken unto you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, says the Lord." Now in Daniel chapter 9, to go back there for a moment, in the first year of Darius, Daniel understood by the scrolls. He had the scrolls of Jeremiah there in Babylon. He understood in the first year that the Lord was about to do his work of restoration. The first year of Darius was 538 BC. Daniel was taken out of Judah and Jerusalem as one of the first captives under the Babylonian captivity. In 605 BC, Daniel was in his late teenage years when he went and attended the University of Babylon in chapter 1. But Daniel all of a sudden recognized with the change of the empire from the Babylonian to the Persian Empire, the first year of Darius the Mede, that he began to search the scriptures and he saw that the captivity was about to be ended. In fact, as he went down the years and counted them up, he saw that they were maybe in year 68 or 69, and Jeremiah had prophesied 70 years. What did Daniel do? He didn't say, whatever will be, will be. If God wants to do something according to his word, then God can do it. I'll just sit back and wait for it. Daniel was not idle. He began to give himself to prayer and supplication, sackcloth and ashes, and fasting before the Lord to see this word of the Lord fulfilled. And it was fulfilled. What a powerful lesson for us that we must understand that for the promises of God to find fulfillment in the earth, there must be a prevailing people of prayer. God says, I will perform my good word. I will visit you. I will give you an expectation and end. But you will seek me when you find me when you search for me with all your heart. God says, you will go and you will pray. And this work will be done together. My intention, my desire, my promises in the heaven, and my people seeking me and praying me in the earth, praying to me in the earth. And together we will work out the purposes of God in the world. Hallelujah. What a glorious way that the Lord has set the kingdom, that we are so intricately and so importantly involved with him, that he will not do his work without us, but he invites us to be a part of it. And he says, I will work together with my people. Then in Daniel chapter 10, verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel. So this is approximately 5 years later. There's a change from Darius to Cyrus, the Medes and the Persians. A thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now the restoration had begun. Decree went forth by Cyrus that the people should return, and a relatively small amount of people returned in that first restoration time, less than 50,000 people. And Daniel, as he surveyed the events and he could feel the spiritual pressure that was going on in his day against the kingdom of God, and he went to prayer because he sensed the opposition, the lack of enthusiasm, the lack of zeal that was there among God's people, and then the opposition of the enemy. And we read in the books of Ezra how that there was opposition by adversaries, and there was opposition by people to the building of the house of God, people of the land that did not want to see the work of God accomplished once again. And Daniel went to 21 days of prayer and fasting, a partial fast where he didn't eat pleasant bread, no flesh nor wine. He didn't anoint himself. But 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And then we come down to the verse 10 of the same chapter, that as he was praying in this time, that after 21 days, an angel touched him and said, Daniel, you're a man greatly beloved. Understand the words that I speak. And then verse 12, Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten, that is, afflict, to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I am come for your words. Hallelujah. The angel said, I'm come for your words because you're praying in the earth. Fear not, from the first day that you set your heart to understand, to seek the Lord, your words were heard. I'm come for your words, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. A 21-day battle, war broke out in the heavens. A man was praying in the earth and war broke out in the heavens. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, or literally one of the first, Michael the first, the great archangel that's revealed to us in Scripture, he said, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make you understand. A warfare in the heavenly realms. This was obviously an angel that was of lesser rank than Michael the archangel. But there was a warfare that took place in the heavens. And the Bible says that there was a war against the prince of the kingdom of Persia. The Persian Empire was reigning over the entire known world at that time. And what Daniel's referring to, and this is direct from the angel, is that there was a satanic fallen principality that would stir up spiritual opposition to the purposes of God in the Persian Empire. He said, there is a prince of the kingdom of Persia that is resisting. Obviously, this prince of the kingdom of Persia was one of Satan's overlords, one of his mightiest generals. And over the whole Persian Empire, he sought to quell the work of God and to bring forth the purposes of Satan in the nations. What a warfare that took place, and Daniel was praying in this 21-day conflict. Then we come down to verse 20 of the same chapter, and the angel said, and now I've come to you, Daniel, I've given you the words of the Lord, but now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. He says, I'm going back up into that heavenly realm, into that conflict realm. I'm going to fight again with the king of Persia. Why? I thought the king of Persia was defeated. And the angel broke through. The angel said, I'm going back because Satan is relentless and his armies always want to push back. They want to push back. So we must be vigilant in the warfare. We must be thorough in the warfare. As Moses on the hill, when his hands were up, Israel prevailed and Amalek was broken. But when Moses' hands came down, Amalek, the enemy, pressed back in against the people of God. This angel said, I'm going back to fight in the heavenlies. I want to maintain the victory of the Lord. And then he said these words, when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia will come. The Persian Empire reigned over the world, and we know that the next empire that would reign would be the Greco-Macedonian or the Grecian Empire. This wasn't going to be for a couple of hundred years, but already this angel had told Daniel, listen, there's also a prince of the kingdom of Persia. When the Persians rise and control the world, there will be principalities and powers that will oppose the work of God. And just like you, Daniel, are praying in the earth, and I'm come for your words, there will be people that will be raised up in the generations and centuries to come that will war like you did, Daniel, and are. And the victory of God will be in the earth, and righteousness will prevail for the people of God. War broke out. This revelation is on the pages of the Bible so we can understand and get involved with the great conflict on the planet, with the great purposes that are going on above and beyond us and behind the visible scenes of life. We must be like Daniel. We walk in the earth. He had a lot of responsibility. Daniel, as I'll mention in a little while, wasn't a pastor. He wasn't a preacher. But he saw the conflict. He said, I'm going to get involved with God. I've got an occupation in the earth, but I'm going to live in the earth and perform my duties impeccably. And he did. But he said, I'm going to be a warrior for the kingdom of God. War broke out. War broke out in the heavens. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 that our warfare is not chiefly against flesh and blood, as the Greek has it, but that we also war against principalities and powers. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high or heavenly places in the spiritual realms. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God and pray always. And pray always. We wrestle against these powers of darkness, and they're Paul mentions four levels. Now, it's not wise for us to try and construct a hierarchy of fallen demonic beings because the Bible really veils these things from our minds and just gives us glimpses of the warfare and what is taking place. So there's no attempt to identify this perfect order of the fallen angels, but we do understand one thing, that we do war against principalities. He says against principalities. The principalities are those who are principal. Those are the first. Those are the leaders. Those are the chief among the demonic spirits. Then he mentions powers. Those that have authority, governing powers. Principalities, powers, governments, people that have fallen beings that have realms of authority. Then we have the rulers of darkness, the princes. The princes of darkness that are over nations and over cities and over situations. And then we have wicked spirits. Wicked spirits. Spirits that stir up iniquity and strife and ungodliness. So I look at these and I've tried to do an alliteration with them for ease of remembrance. Our wrestling, our warfare is against principalities. It's against powers, it's against princes, and it's against plotters. Plotters of evil and iniquity, the demonic spirits that roam among the nations and among the people of earth, stirring up ungodliness and all the terrible and horrible and horrific things that we see to take place among men on the planet. And over them all is one that's called the chief of the devils or the prince of the devils. There is a name given to Satan. He has many titles and there are many designations for Satan in Scripture. But one of the words, and Jesus mentioned it as well and confirmed it, and that is Beelzebub. Beelzebub, Matthew 12, he talks about Beelzebub, the prince or the chief of the devils, the Lord over all the devils, all the powers of darkness. Beelzebub means the Lord of the flies. And we all know what flies feed on, everything that is disgusting and corrupting and abominable. And that's the realm of satanic powers. And so we see this realm, this warfare. War broke out in the heavenlies. There's a warfare for the planet. Most often we read in Scripture that, you know, these powers of darkness are often summed up in the phrase, the principalities and powers. That there's this warfare against the spirits of darkness. And I'm thankful for Colossians chapter 2, 15, where it says that Jesus Christ plundered. He spoiled principalities and powers. He broke their power. He led them as captives in a grand display through the universe. And that Jesus Christ has defeated every foe. Jesus said in John 12, 31, now is the judgment of this world, the judgment of this world system. And he said, now will the prince of this world be cast out. He said, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to break the power of Satan. But we know that a warfare continues till the time of the end. War broke out in the heavens, and it's for us to get involved and be valiant soldiers of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 3 points this morning. Number one, our prayers are vital in the administration of earth. Our prayers are vital. That's one thing we learned from Daniel. There is a struggle for this planet. It's painfully obvious to any who open their eyes. A holy war is afoot for the saints. We wrestle against principalities and powers, wicked spirits, overlords of darkness. And there is a sovereign administration of God in the history of the world. But we understand from the scriptures and from our own lives as witness that there is also a working out of the history of the world that is predicated on the prayers of holy men and holy women, that we must be involved with God. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 23, when Daniel was praying in this chapter, the angel Gabriel came and said to him, at the beginning of your supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Daniel, at the beginning of your supplication, God sent forth a commandment. He heard your prayer, and I've come to reveal that vision and give you understanding. And then again, Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. The angel said to him, from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to humble yourself and pray, your words were heard, and I am come for your words. I am come for your words. How many times have I comforted myself on that phrase, that the Lord will come for my words as I pray in the earth according to his will? There's a tremendous example of this warfare and victory in Acts chapter 4, as the early church was preaching the gospel in Jerusalem and signs and wonders were taking place and people were coming to Christ, that the people were commanded, the group of disciples were commanded not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus, that they were to cease their evangelism in the city of Jerusalem. And the Bible says that they were beaten and they rejoiced in the sufferings of Christ, but when they were let go, when the leaders were let go, that Acts 4 and verse 23 says they came to their own company and reported this resistance to the gospel. Verse 24 says when the believing saints heard that, when they heard that there was resistance, when there was enemy opposition, it says they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of your servant David said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. But now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word, by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken, an earthquake, where they were assembled together. The earth shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, filled in a fresh way in that moment, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. When that early church sensed the resistance of the enemy against the gospel of Jesus Christ, they went to prayer. They began to seek God with all their heart, and they began to lift up Psalm 2, the Psalm of David, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. There was an earthquake. God showed them that there was a breaking up of things that had formerly stood fast against them. And they went out and they preached the gospel with boldness. Signs and wonders took place. The healing miracles of Jesus Christ as these people prayed in faith over people of the city. And in the next chapter we read that they were again interrogated and said, we told you not to speak in the name of Jesus, but it's now that you have filled the streets of Jerusalem with the doctrine of the Lord. Hallelujah. They filled the streets. There wasn't one street in that city that did not know of the name of Jesus Christ, who he was, and of the power of the gospel. The Lord wants us to know that our prayers are vital to the administration of the earth. Psalm 2 is such a powerful psalm. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The rulers of the earth take counsel. They set themselves, kings of the earth set themselves, rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his Christ. Kings of the earth are principalities and powers, the rulers, the kings and rulers. Verse 1 talks about the people and the nations. Why do the nations rage? Why do the people imagine a vain thing? And then the kings of the earth and their rulers take counsel against the Lord. Say, let us break their bands asunder. Let's cast away their cords. We don't want the restrictions of the gospel or the holy commandments of the Lord upon the earth. Verse 8, the Lord said, ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Ask of me. The heathen may be raging. Principalities and powers war against the gospel. But the Lord says if we will pray, he will give us the heathen as our inheritance. He'll give us the nations. He will give us the souls of men and women in this city and in the nations of the world that will come to Christ. Our prayers are vital to the administration of earth. War broke out in the heavens. War broke out in the heavens. Number two today, take up our quarrel with the foe. Take up our quarrel with the foe. That famous line from In Flanders Fields. Let's take up the war with the foe. Generations that have served in the past have carried the battle. And God needs a generation today. And young adults and teenagers and children that are growing up in the house of God to be taught the warfare of the Lord and to carry the conflict in their time and generation. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, that is over the Persian Empire, 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents. Now Daniel is approximately 85 years of age, and he's still wanted by the administrations of the earth because an excellent spirit was in him. And he had understanding of the times and seasons. And the king knew there would be no damage under Daniel's administration. Over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the princes, presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Daniel, three presidents, there's the king ruling the entire known world of that day, the Persian Empire, east to west, north to south, this vast dominion, and he has three presidents, and Daniel is the first among the three. And then there are 120 satraps or princes governing under that, governing the whole dominion. And these men, these two presidents, brought forth a devious plot to slay Daniel, get him cast into the lion's den. And it was because of his prayers, but Daniel 6 and 10, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime, as he always did, as his custom was. Daniel's custom was, probably from his youth, that three times a day, morning and noon and night, he would be on his knees, he would be thanking God for his goodness and blessing, and he would be praying for the kingdom of God to come and the will of God to be done in the earth. Then we go to Daniel chapter 10. This is sometime later, and I've mentioned these verses already, but in verse 2, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning three full weeks, a partial fast for 3 weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 21 days were fulfilled. Here's a man who carries the kingdom of God in his heart. and understands the battle that's on the planet. Now, Daniel wasn't a pastor or a preacher. No, pastors and preachers should pray and intercede and fast and seek the Lord. Ministers of the Lord should be involved in those disciplines. Daniel wasn't a preacher. He was a prince. He was a executive officer. He was a president under the king of Persia. Daniel wasn't a preacher. Daniel was an administrator. Daniel was a teacher. Daniel was an accountant. Daniel was a mechanic. Daniel was a business person. Daniel was involved in the realms of occupation in the earth. And yet he knew that heaven needed him. He knew that heaven needed him, that there was war in the heavenlies over the nation and over the purposes of God and over what God wanted to accomplish, and that people would need to pray and seek God with all their heart to see enemy powers broken and to see the purposes of God come to pass. And there were obviously many occasions, because Daniel lived a fasted life, as we see from the first chapter, but as we see especially in this one passage in Daniel chapter 10, there were times where Daniel would work at the office all day, surrounded by opulence. I mean, the finest of everything. He lived in the golden realms of the kingdoms of the ancient world. He was dressed in the finest clothes money could buy. He stood next to the Persian king. He stood in the audience of great people of the earth that would come and be entertained and walk the realms of administration. But there were times and seasons where Daniel, after a day at the presidential office, would go into his residence, into his house, and he would take off his designer clothes and he would hang them up properly as they needed to be. And then he would put on the rough cloth, sackcloth. He would put on the cloth of mourning, the cloth of fasting, and he would eat a simple meal in the hours of the end of the day. And then he would go into prayer and seek the Lord. Hallelujah. Evenings where he set everything else aside. You think of the responsibility of this man, the first of three presidents over the whole kingdom. And yet he said, there have to be nights. When I get home at supper, I'm just have a little basic meal, but the kingdom of heaven needs me tonight. The kingdom of God needs me for a few nights. The kingdom of God needs me for 21 days. And I will separate myself to the Lord and I will seek the Lord. The best entertainment in the world was playing just down the street. I mean, those ancient cultures knew how to entertain themselves every night. And there in the kingdom of Persia, you know, they had the finest musicians, live musicians and pageants and sports and shows that would awe you, because it was the highest and the best that could be produced in the ancient world. Daniel said, I'm laying aside the entertainments. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to seek the Lord. Would you take up our quarrel with the foe? Number three, go to your knees in prayer. Go to your knees in prayer. There's a warfare to every person. There's a warfare to every family and every church. There was a warfare particular to Daniel in his day, and he had to get involved with the circumstances, the political powers, the demonic powers. He had to fight the battles in his day. There is a warfare specific to every generation and every person. And as we are here today, every one of us has a warfare in the circumstances of life. There's a warfare for our spiritual victory, over our circumstances, over our families, over this church that we're a part of. Jesus Christ had a warfare specific to his day. He had to war against the powers and principalities of darkness, against the opposition in his day, so he could accomplish the will of God that God had for his life. Every one of us have a will of God to work out in the earth. And Jesus said, you need to Watch and pray always. Watch and pray that you don't enter into temptation. Watch and pray that you have victory over the enemy and you will have a sensitivity to the battle that is going on in your life, that the Holy Spirit can sensitize you to little things in your family, little things in your children, little things that are going on around you so you can fight the battles of the Lord more properly. I want to speak about this aspect of going to our knees. Going to our knees. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. When those wicked men plotted against him, Daniel went to his house, opened his windows, and he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed. There's something powerful about going to our knees. Now, in the corporate gathering, it's not as prevalent and expected, but I believe that when we are alone with the Lord, that we should find time on our knees. The knees are very important, that humbling of oneself, and I'm going to show you some scriptures, and I've been brought back to an emphasis in it in my own heart as I've seen these. How important it is to humble ourselves, that our posture before the Lord is very important. How we show reverence and respect to the Lord in our prayer and in our involvement with Him. On our knees isn't the only posture that's spoken of in the Word of God. Jesus said in Mark 11:25, when you stand praying. So we understand, of course, we can stand and pray. Bible speaks about stretching out our hands toward God in earnest prayer. So that's another way we pray. We lift up our hands to the Lord in earnestness, in expectation, in yearning after Him. We can also sit and pray. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says the believers, as they were waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit, they were praying and worshiping for those 10 days. And then the Holy Spirit came and filled all the house where they were sitting. So that is, of course, a posture as we sit in the presence of God. And then the Bible says, walk up and down in the name of the Lord. So we walk and pray as well. But there's something about kneeling in the presence of the Lord, that humbling, that contrition, that respect and reverence before the Lord, that's very, very important. Daniel kneeled on his knees, and I want to encourage us concerning that in our own lives. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, in Luke chapter 22 and verse 41, the Bible says he kneeled upon his knees and prayed. Jesus was on his knees in the garden, calling out for the will of God, not my will, but yours be done. That posture of humility, Matthew and Mark both say not only was he on his knees, but Mark says that he fell on his face to the ground and prayed. Matthew. And then Mark says that he fell on the ground and prayed and called out on God in a desperate hour. Beautiful contrition before the Lord. We understand in Acts chapter 7 and verse 60 that Stephen, as he was being martyred, the first martyr of the Christian church, the Bible says that he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. See, they ran upon him and they hustled him out of the city and stoned him. He was crying out, calling on the Lord, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, lay not this sin to their charge, and he fell asleep. Stephen was on his knees. The Apostle Peter, when he went in to raise Dorcas in Acts chapter 9, verse 40, Peter put everyone out of the room and kneeled down and prayed, and turning to the body said, Tabitha, or damsel, arise. And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. Peter went into that room. He kneeled down and he prayed. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul, as he called the elders of Ephesus and gave them one final charge as he was taking his journey. Verse 36 of Acts 20 says, when he had spoken to them, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. He kneeled down and prayed with them all. Acts 21 and verse 5, when he came to Tyre and spent 7 days there with the disciples as he was going up to Jerusalem, Verse 5 says, when he had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city. And we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. They kneeled down and prayed. They sought God in that posture. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 3:14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I bow my knees. Paul was found on his knees as he prayed. I want to encourage you with this posture today, and that as you go to your homes and as you seek the Lord, maybe in your office, at work, like Daniel, you might want to take a few minutes at noon and go to your knees and humble yourself before the Lord, thank him and call on his name. What a beautiful way to seek the Lord. Psalm 95, verse 6 says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. So we bow in the presence of the Lord. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Let's humble ourselves before our God. Then we have James chapter 5, and I close with this. James chapter 5, the account of Elijah as he sought the Lord. A man with the same passions, the same emotions, the same weaknesses, same human nature as we are. But he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for 3.5 years. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. It says he prayed earnestly. The Greek is he prayed in praying. There was something beyond the normal prayer expression of a person. There was something that was pouring out of his heart as he called on the name of the Lord. He prayed in praying. There was a cry in his cry. There was a voice in his voice. And when we go back to 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 42, we understand how this man of God prayed for the rain of heaven to come upon the land. 1 Kings 18:42, Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. He was on his knees, face down to the ground, calling out on God, earnestly praying that God would send the rain. And he prayed for a season, and he sent his servant up the hill, and he said, go and give me a weather report. And the servant came back and said, there's nothing. There's nothing. No clouds, no wind. Nothing taking place. Elijah cast himself again on the ground in the presence of God and prayed. He prayed 7 times like that, and he sent the servant up the hill. And the 7th time, the servant said, there's a cloud rising out of the sea, and the rains are coming off the Mediterranean. And there was a great rain, and the Lord caused the land to be revived, and everything started growing again. A man on his knees. Daniel, a man on his knees. Today, as we close out, there's a warfare on every person here. Temptation, enemy resistance. As you make your way through the week, you can sometimes feel the oppression, the discouragement, the despair. Those are spirits that are against us, trying to oppose, trying to hinder. We see sometimes what begins to take place in maybe our families and how some thoughts and imaginations and even strongholds start to get built into lives. There's a warfare to every person. And today, I trust that your spiritual eyes have been opened. And like Daniel, you're going to enlist today and say, I will be a kingdom warrior. I will perform my duties on the earth just like Daniel did. I will walk among men. I will walk with dignity. I will walk with honor. But I'm also going to take up the warfare of the kingdom, because heaven needs me and there's a battle on high. I will fight the battles of the Lord. Let's stand together today. If you'd like prayer this morning, if you'd like to offer yourself to the Lord in a special way, say, here I am, Lord. I want to be a soldier in the army of God. I give myself to the battle today. I give myself to have a Daniel spirit, to walk with my eyes opened in this world, but also in the invisible world. And Lord, to be involved with you, because I see the administration of the earth is joined with God and man. We're laborers together with God. If you'd like to give yourself to the Lord that way, present yourself to the Lord at the altar or where you are, surrender yourself in a fresh way. You see the battle that's raging in your family today or against your life. See the temptation and trial that's there. Offer yourself to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm going to fight the battles. War broke out. War broke out. I'm going to fight the battles of the Lord. If there's any other need you have today, if you'd like prayer, please. The altars are open. Slip out from where you are. Present yourself before the Lord. And let's close out in a great surrender to the Lord today. Hallelujah. How many are thankful you're a soldier of the Lion? Hallelujah. You're part of the kingdom, the army of the Lord. There's nothing greater than to work with God in the spiritual realms of this life and eternity. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord together today. Love Him. Hallelujah.